Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right, Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on radio.com and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yo, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast. Jack, as I sit here talking to you, watching two smart baseball teams playing game one of the World Series, I'm in a familiar spot as a Phillies fan. Nowhere close to these two teams. How you doing, buddy?
Well, at least Jim Hendry is probably on the way.
Yeah, but end this podcast now. Shut it down if they hire Jim Hendry.
Seriously. No.
Strongest of no's. I mean, Jesus, what are we doing? John, what are we doing, pal?
John, you've strayed far from the pod.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Come back.
Have you not been listening, John? Come on, buddy.
I swear, I promise that you and I could, we would be good consultants for this baseball team.
Oh, man. Absolutely. The way they've been going, we'd be the star consultants in there.
Oh, my gosh.
Guess what? There are people who are way better than us.
Well, speak for yourself. But, get Andy McPhail the hell. Just lose his number. Please just lose his number. I don't want to hear it anymore.
Does he even have a cell phone? I feel like he's got one of those, home wireless phones that he's thinks is super high tech.
Dude, you know Andy McPhail's a flip phone guy.
He's got a razor.
Dude, can't you see him being like, listen, this worked for me in 2003 when Steve Bartman ruined my third World Series run.
Did you? I don't know if we've talked about this, but I would have a third World Series title if it weren't for Steve Bartman. Yep. That man is the reason I don't have it. Yeah, so it's fair.
That's it. I'd also like to say, as I'm doing this podcast, I'm sipping on a fine McCall Collective Brewing Company beer, which is from the Lehigh Valley. They were nice enough to send me some beers last week. Big fans of the podcast.
Oh, look at you. I mean, they could have sent me some beers. I mean, just saying.
That might have been the plan, but I might have taken all eight of them not have told you about it.
Wow. That is some dark, dark stuff, Jack.
Well, you know, one for you, nine for me.
Oh, man.
Well, at least the Phillies are close to these teams.
Oh, man. We're having fun. This is fun. I'm happy we're doing this. This is good.
Yeah, so, you didn't know what we were going to talk about. No, well, guess what? We're not talking about anything.
That's what I figured. I was like, it can just be a look into the twisted mind of Jack Fritz for 40 minutes.
Well,
what weird baseball thoughts is Jack Fritz having these days?
So just a little tease. I have a science thought in my mailbag.
Oh, I can't wait. Your last one, I think, was about the theory of relativity. So hopefully this lives up to that illustrious bar, I suppose.
I honestly, the second I thought of it, I immediately started feeling bad for my future children. Like, they're just gonna be questioning everything they've ever thought. Like, they're gonna go to school and they're gonna come home and they're gonna say, "Hey, Dad, they taught me this," and I'm gonna say, "You sure? You sure that happened?"
Oh man!
Let me tell you why I don't think that's real or whatever.
Oh God, your poor kids is
the
takeaway.
Listen, if as long as they have an open mind and, you know, think opposite of what the mainstream is thinking, that's all I care about. So, Jim Hendry, you excited?
I can't, like, we're not even going to acknowledge this. I'm not, I refuse to take this seriously. I refuse to take the idea that they would bring an old man Hendry. Like, no, I'm not in on this. I can't. This is what are we doing here?
Yeah, honestly, I think it's just agent. Like, hey, let's throw his name out there. Let everyone know he's very available.
He's in.
Yeah.
If you want Jim, you can get him.
Yep. But also, Spin Zone. He was the guy hired before 3-0, and ipso facto, we could have Jim Hendry for a year, and then Theo could take his job again.
So he was the guy after McPhail? Terrific. He can follow McPhail again, and then Theo a year later? Is that what we're saying here? I mean, if you're talking about Theo in like 5 years, I'm not as in on that.
Well, the way that me and Andy would spin that is that Jim Hendry was in the front office that was a Steve Bartman misplay away from winning another World Series.
I can't do this. I can't. I'm already trying to. Maybe what they're doing here is they're putting that out there so when they hire JJ Piccolo, people are like, all right.
Not too bad.
Sure.
Not too bad.
You know what? It could be way worse.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. As we get done.
They're lowering our expectations, Jack. That's
as we get done
doing.
Wrapping up a World Series with the freaking Rays and Dodgers,
I know
we're gonna hire JJ freaking Piccolo as like a. Well, he, you know, not that bad.
He's from here, guys. He's from here.
He gets us.
And look, I know that JJ Piccolo was a big part in building a World Series winning team. It's just like this is a random baseball thought, but I've thought about it a lot because this is the kind of stuff we diseased baseball fans and Phillies fans do. That when you look at the World Series winners of the last 20 years or whatever, like for the vast majority of them, I can kind of figure out like how they were built, why they won, you know, whatever. Like that Royals team's like an enigma to me. I know they went to back-to-back World Series, but like, in the moment, I didn't like. It was like they play hard. Like I just didn't like. I was always consistently surprised by how good they were, and it never. I know it was a lot of homegrown talent, which you like to see and all that, but like they were just weird teams. You know what I mean? I know they won the World Series and credit, but I don't know. I don't know if that's a philosophy to build long term sustainable success. You know what I mean? In a big market. So
well, it's like you have to suck for like at least 5 years. Like that's part of the Royals plan is that you have to absolutely be terrible and then be at the top of the drafts and then for like you got to hit on what four straight draft picks. I mean,
and they won with like defense
and
you
bunting,
know, and running the bases, and,
you know,
like,
playing
you know.
Baseball.
I know.
So, sounds stupid.
No. I love that. But at the same time, like in terms of like, I want a guy who's going to come in and load my team up with a bunch of talent so that I don't have to worry about that type of stuff.
Oh yeah, I mean they basically won a World Series for like 1989, like that. Yeah. Was, well, see, even in 1989, it was like McGuire and Canseco. So like, I don't know, like the mid 90s, I don't like 80s, maybe 85. Like the 2015 Royals were like a 1985 baseball team.
Yeah, they totally were.
Yeah, I mean like, yeah, it's not like I look at the Royals and say, man, I want that. And like of all the small market teams, why is it kind of like
I know.
I love how like one of our qualifications was they have to work for a small market team and have success. And like there's a lot of small market teams that have success. Like why do we have to choose the Royals? But like
well, again, like we talk about, I mean, like obviously the Rays are what everyone's thinking about right now as you're saying that, but like again, there are others like the Indians. We talk about all the time with the Indians. I mean, they've been a GM factory for years. Like, why not go to those guys? Why not be like, hey, you're really good at pumping out highly successful front office executives for years. Like, since the 90s, the Indians have been pumping out GM after GM. Like, it makes no sense to me. Why not, like, go to these types of teams?
Well, you're talking to the team that picked the Angels and Orioles guy over.
I know. But you would hope you would learn from that mistake.
Nope. We got to get back to scouting and, you know, building a team that way. But yeah, no, it's ridiculous. And not even like those teams. The A's have done it for 100 years.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely. Absolutely. Go ahead.
I mean, like, honestly, with Piccolo, like, it wouldn't be. I think it's Piccolo.
It's Piccolo. Yeah, that's what I thought it was anyway.
Yeah, I think it's Piccolo. Whatever. I mean, he's from here, so everyone.
So you're saying it's more like Piccolo.
No. It would be. Yay, Piccolo's is going to get his back. Yay, Piccolo's.
I will say the JJ. Not super popular right now in Philadelphia as a first name, though, I will say.
Why?
JJ Arcega Whiteside?
Oh, okay. Because there's
I love how far away your mind is from the Eagles. I love that. That's just, I love you for that. Like, who cares about the Eagles? You weren't even thinking about it.
Well, I was just confused as to where you were going, but.
Am I not wrong? Like, the last athlete to come here and be named JJ, it wasn't great. And well, I know it's an athlete and not a whatever, but
what about Reddick? I mean, Reddick was pretty good.
Yeah, but he was before him. Stop ruining my point.
Okay.
My meaningless point about a name that has nothing to do with anything.
I would say that's your best point you've ever made on this podcast. Seriously, dynamite stuff as always.
Oh, God.
So with Piccolo, like, and it's so funny because they're trying to sell that he's been, like, doing player development stuff for the last year. Like, oh, JJ's put on the uniform and gone down and worked in player performance and he's learning all the technology. It's like they're kind of – it feels like Dayton Moore's pretty much been grooming him for a 21st century general manager position. Like – my thing on Piccolo is that it's fine. Like, honestly, like, given the names that have been freaking thrown out there, like Jim Hendry, like Ned Coletti.
I know. Ned
Coletti is a freaking disaster.
I mean, what are we doing here?
I mean,
what is happening if we're talking about Ned Coletti?
Dude, what could possibly be happening? Like, honestly, so the names that have been thrown out there by Nightingale and Heyman the last couple of days, Dombrowski, Piccolo, Dane Duquette, okay, and Ned Coletti. James, I mean this in all sincerity. Outside of Piccolo, I would rather have just kept Matt Klentak. Like,
I actually agree with you.
I agree.
That
everyone knows how we felt about Matt Klentak on this podcast. Like, Matt Klentak is not as bad as those guys.
Nope.
Like, literally could not be worse.
I know. It's Ned a horror Coletti? Show. It's a nightmare of a list.
Honestly though, I just think this is like agent get their names out there. And
I agree. I totally agree, especially because those are names that, not because they're good, because they've been around for a while, and obviously Dombrowski's won titles and stuff, that I think people know. And thus, you know, you kind of get those names out there. I think that does make sense. And look, for, you know, if one team, you know, if it's out there that a team is considering one GM, then maybe another team wants to consider him. It's all that type of stuff.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure people are knocking down the door Ned Coletti.
Ned Coletti. Like, what are we doing? I can't get over it.
Yeah. Ned Coletti. Do you think Ned Coletti saw that report and said, really? Me?
I can't it would be just the all-time disaster.
Dude,
I mean, just fold up the franchise at that point.
We would find a new podcast.
We'll hop on the Neanderthal. We'll be Neanderthals one way or the other.
Yes. Just let us be Neanderthals. It's just so...
Oh, I'm so mad. This is, just makes me mad. It makes me mad, Jack.
I try not to think about it. I literally... For as excited as I am about the GM search, I'm equally as terrified.
Like, I'm way more terrified than excited.
Because I'm way more terrified.
Especially now. Like, after hearing these names, like, I think they've set it up so J.J. Piccolo is like, thank God. Thank God. I'll take it. And look, I will say that of those names, I would guess Piccolo.
Yeah.
If I had to pick one, I think it's the most logical one. But... obviously, as we've talked about many times on this podcast, that is far from our top choice. So it's, you know, and far from exciting. It would just be like, all right, at least it's not Ned Colletti or Dave Dombrowski. I mean, what the hell? Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, how long have we been saying, don't hire Dave Dombrowski with a year left in Matt Klentak's contract. Like, the whole last year when we were talking about getting rid of Matt Klentak, we were still saying, but not Dave Dombrowski, no matter what, not Dave Dombrowski. I mean, that's just been like a, constant that like it was so obvious that that name was going to show up. It was so bleeping obvious. We knew it was coming, and yet here it is. And I can't. No.
My only hope is that, like, obviously there's going to be like no one will be hired until I think at least or. Not at least, but until the first week of November. That's around when Klentak was hired and all that stuff. So like, we got a little bit of time here, and it definitely won't be until after the World Series. My hope is that, you know, they're at least waiting for the World Series to be over. I mean, so they can, like, Josh Burns seems like a guy that
at least talk to these people. Like, at least, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Look, there is, you don't want them to rush the decision too much because you want to make sure you talk to every smart person. But again, this is all presupposed on having any faith in the person talking to these people and their ability to ascertain who the right person for the job is. That's obviously the core issue with all of it. But my point where I was going is that there is a bit of a rush. I mean, like, you do have an off season coming up, like you would think, at least. Obviously, Middleton might not see it that way, and he might want to take as long as, you know, he's a meticulous thinker, Jack, or meticulous decision maker.
No one thinks harder than John Middleton.
Thinks harder, so I don't know. What's your take on it? Like, if you had to guess, do you think it'll be like? Do you think that the impending off season is a concern for John?
I think trying to save as much money as possible is John's
I do too.
Main concern. Let me honestly, and. You can write this down, 8:47, October 20th. I'm going to tell you exactly what I think is going to happen.
Oh, buddy. I like this. Bringing this on me.
Yeah. I think Ned Rice is going to be the GM for a year, and then I think he's going to hire Theo. And I think he's going to do whatever it takes to hire Theo, because I think Theo is like the classic John Middleton, like, oh, this guy, the big president, you know, could come in and he's erased two curses, and he's widely considered the best GM in the sport for a long time there, even though he hasn't really been that in, I don't know, 3 years. And he's probably past his prime and the sport might be passing him by, but he's a big name and people tell me he's smart, like Joe Girardi. And like, I just think he's going to push all his chips in Theo. Like, Theo's my guy. We're going to spend stupid money on another guy like Theo. And I think he's going to be the president next year. Like, if I had to make one bet, I think Theo Epstein is going to be this team's president next year. And I think, like, honestly, considering where we're at right now with, you know, freaking Ned Colletti being thrown out there and Jim Hendry, like, I will do jumping jacks down Broad Street. But I think he's all in on trying to get Theo here, and I think that he views that as the one move that would, like, really, really excite the fan base and kind of get everyone back on board. Like, he loves making that one move that makes it, like, I feel like you'll start seeing leaks around like February, like January, February from like Salisbury, where it's like, yeah, John has his eyes on one big prize, Theo Epstein. So yeah, that's exactly what I think is going to happen. So,
okay. I have a lot of thoughts about this. First and foremost, as much as I hate the idea of just giving up a year of Bryce Harper's career, you know, a year of his athletic prime, all that stuff, and just kind of pushing the can down the road, I would absolutely be ecstatic if Theo Epstein is the president of this team. You know I like Theo more than you do. And especially considering the situation we're in, where I just have no, you know, we all want him to go hand a blank check to Eric Neander. It doesn't seem like John Middleton's going to do that. So in the case of, if we're talking about Ned Coletti, Dave Dombrowski, even J.J. Piccolo, like, I'd rather wait and get Theo, personally. And I think that Theo, yes, maybe he hasn't been quite as good the last few years, but he is a
Eric Neander's on TV right now, though. I mean, look at him. Oh, but you're like 100. You're like 5 minutes behind on your stream, so you won't see.
I'm watching Ken Rosenthal reporting.
All right. Well, when you see, well, Ken Rosenthal and Eric Neander are the same guy.
I know. I'm telling you where I'm at in the broadcast, guy.
All right. Well.
Obviously,
when you get to
that
it,
I'm waiting. I'm so excited. This is very exciting for me, Jack. Waiting
our
to
guy,
see Neander.
Our guy.
This is Blake Snell. Just put his mask on. Good to see. You know, Blake Snell. How about that? Blake Snell in the World Series after the start of the season has twitched.
Yep.
How about that? We're here. I'm watching. That's pretty funny to think about.
And now they're showing Andrew Friedman.
I'm waiting. Show it to. I'm so far behind you. This is how far behind I am when I watch these games.
Yeah, so when James is tweeting about a home run that happened six pitches before.
I know.
This is why. This is why.
I know.
It's so bad.
I'm streaming it.
Not seen Eric Neander yet?
I still have not seen Eric Neander.
Honestly, so I just saw Eric Neander, just saw Eric Friedman or Andrew Friedman, and just thinking about what Ned Coletti could bring to this ball club, and just, you know, all the modern innovation.
I got him. Oh, he's so good. Like, checkered shirt, looking good. I actually have that exact same shirt in green. It's a great shirt. Ah, love you, Eric. What a good looking man.
Would you say, when you just saw Eric Neander on a television screen, would you say that he looks like he's ready to get a blank check from the Phillies?
I hope so. He looks handsome. He looks together.
Yeah.
He looks like he's just got command of everything around him.
He doesn't
world.
Look like disturbingly
like he looks
tired.
Like, he looks like Neo in The Matrix when he figures it out and he just sees numbers and stuff. Nice. He doesn't even see anything else. He knows what to do.
Haven't seen a Matrix, but
God! I know. Boo!
Were you kind of terrified that Eric Neander didn't look deathly tired like Matt Klentak always looked? Like, he actually looked like he.
Matt Klentak looked like he aged 30 years in his time as general manager.
Do you think Matt Klentak, when he quote unquote stepped down, was like kind of excited? Like, he felt like he'd go back to living.
Well,
a little bit.
I mean, he's making $6 million for doing nothing for 2 years, so I think that part probably was pretty cool. I mean, who wouldn't want to do that, right? I mean, that sounds pretty awesome to me.
Yeah. Well,
you know. So maybe I'll think a small part of him was like, F this. F all these fans calling me an asshole all the time, saying fire me every day. Like, you know what? I'm going to take my $6 million to be happy about it. I mean, that is possible. I doubt it. People in this industry, as you know, are competitive and all that, so I doubt it. But, you know, I bet a small part of them was. But
I'm not sure Matt Klentak was
competitive. No, that's why I said it's possible. I mean, you're right. He certainly never came off as competitive.
Yeah.
Game off as very,
very
chillaxed.
This podcast had personally been calling for him to be fired for a year and a half.
I know. Jesus. He still never got fired.
Still here.
So back to Theo. The one thing I will say is that Theo is accomplished enough and smart enough about the game and the way the game works that a new place, a new challenge could reinvigorate him. You know what I mean? It could. And again, it's not like he'd be the president. It's not like he's, you know, he'd have a GM working under him, so he wouldn't be as involved in the day-to-day stuff. Like, I don't know. I would be down to try out Theo 3.0. Theo 1.0 and Theo 2.0 worked out pretty damn good. So yeah, I would be very, very in on that. But again, it's also a big risk to take too. I mean, if you're going to be willing to kick the can down the road with Ned Rice for a year, you have to, like, you have to be pretty damn sure that you're getting Theo.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. But at the same time, if you're Theo and you see the money Middleton has been willing to spend in the past, there's not going to be another position that opens up like this, you would think. I mean, next offseason, what realistic position could you see opening up as good as the Phillies? I mean, the Mets are probably hiring a GM this year. They just hired Sandy Alderson. They're out. Yankees, no way. Red Sox, no way. Cubs are moving on from Theo. The Angels are hiring Dombrowski, it seems like. Dodgers, no way.
Are the Angels really hiring Dombrowski? That'd be amazing.
I'm like 90% sure they're gonna.
Oh, please.
It's a classic.
Please. Like, and that would be a classic Artie Moreno move.
Well, also, let's not get too ahead of ourselves. It's also a classic Middleton move.
Well, my point. That's why I want him to sign him. That's why I'm exactly. Please, please.
Yeah. I mean, we are building Angels East over here. So, meanwhile, we could have Dodgers East if we just, yeah. I think Theo is a lock, and you want to know why I think Theo is a lock? Is because I have slandered him in the past, and everyone that I have slandered in the past has come back, and I have talked myself into them being like the saviors here. Like Bryce, I hated Bryce forever, and then Harper Lent happened. Girardi, I always told people I thought Girardi sucked, and then he's my manager, and Theo, I was the first one to say, he's all right. Guess what? It's the lock of the century.
This is what I'm talking about right here. Get on board, baby. Get on the Theo bus.
Zach Wheeler. I said, whoever pays him $100 million is going to regret it. We pay him $100 million, and he was great.
Oh, this is very you. I mean, this is what you do. You are the easiest Phillies fan. You are just ready to buy in.
Listen. Prediction. Uh-huh. No one's going to be going harder after Theo next offseason than this guy.
You have like battled me on Theo. Like you and I have like we don't yell at each other, but we've definitely like argued about Theo before.
It's not as big as our Jerry Garcia or John Mayer.
Well, that's because you're an asshat when you say that.
Listen, all I'm saying is that if Fish was so good, why aren't they on the radio?
It's not going to work on me this time. Oh, we're off the rails.
Yeah, whatever.
I know.
I'm already thinking about what Theo Epstein's going to do with this team in a year. Like, because I read the Cubs way, and now I'm just thinking about, like, what's the Phillies way going to be, you know? Like, just how they're going to develop players. And honestly, I wish it could happen this offseason. Like,
Me too. I hate that's my one reservation with it is just the idea of kicking the can down the road a year.
Yeah. And on it, I am very much there with you. And of course, we still maintain the ultimate position of give Eric Neander a blank check. I mean, whatever it takes.
Yes, whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah, I mean, that is by far the official platform of that podcast.
And I wrote, I saw today, Destiny Legardo for Phillies Nation joined in on the.
Welcome aboard, Destiny.
Yeah, it's great stuff.
Fan of your work.
She totally like, she saw the light. You know, like it's the perfect time to go and get this guy. Like, the Phillies have a freaking president open, and this is what sucks, James. Is that the Phillies have a freaking president open, and we're joking around about freaking Ned Coletti. Dave Dombrowski, and who the hell is the last guy that we were messing around about earlier?
Jim Hendry.
Jim freaking Hendry?
I know.
In 2020?
I know.
I mean, are we serious? Like, the only way they could screw this up would be by doing exactly what they're leaking out. I can't. I won't let it happen. Like, I promise the Iowa listeners, I will do anything in my power.
It's a lot riding on your shoulders, Jack.
Dude, I will not let this team hire any of those three. JJ Piccolo will let him hire, won't be thrilled about it. There is no way I am sitting idly by and letting them hire Jim Hendry or Ned Coletti or Dave Dombrowski?
Oh, God. Just like, oh, God. I can't even talk about it. Don't F this up, John. All right? Seriously. This is a turning point moment for your franchise. All right. Let's. What else you got? You got some other stuff to talk about?
Oh, we got to get to the pitching coach.
Oh, yeah. How about that? Brian Price just out of nowhere says, nope, can't do it, won't do it. Yeah. It looks like it was a family-related decision. Obviously, you know, I don't besmirch anyone who wants to lay him down and spend more time with family. But what were your thoughts on it? I saw you tweet that it doesn't seem like you're as upset about it as I think some people are.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm very good.
It's fine. Cool.
Listen, I liked what he did, you know, and I think having a trusted pitching coach helps, you know, when you're a pitcher and you go through what you had to go through with Chris Young. It's, you know, you have to have a guy that's going to establish good relationships and all that. And I legitimately think he like watched the Phillies bullpen this year and was like, nope, not doing this again. Like every night Girardi turns to Brian Price and he's like, I don't know, man.
Oh man.
Like you choose. Like
the Phillies bullpen broke Brian Price.
Like Brian Price just started closing his eyes and pointing, you know, and I was like, JoJo for the fourth night in a row. I don't know. I don't know if that's the best idea, but everyone else sucks.
Everyone else
is literally awful. I think Price helped. I think he definitely helped Eflin. I think he helped Nola. I think he helped Wheeler. Like, I think all that stuff was good. Bullpen was just dreadful. The guys that came up and made a huge difference were the Brogdons and JoJo Romeros, and those guys were all developed by the Driveline guys and like Travis Hergert. Down there in the minor leagues and stuff. So, you know, those guys got the most out of them, not anything Brian Price did. So I think he helped a little bit with the starters, but like it's so bad because my mind is going more analytical than ever. Like when we're talking about like pitch philosophy and stuff like that. So I want to see I want to get a real super nerdy guy in here. And like, I just know they won't do it. So it's not even worth getting my hopes up about. Brian Price was kind of like a dinosaur. And, you know, I think he did some good mechanical stuff with guys, but when it comes down to like sequencing and tunneling and stuff like that, yeah, I thought Eflin did a good job of it this year. I thought Noel did a decent job of it this year. Wheeler was just stupid good. But, yeah, I'm not losing sleep over Brian Price, and I would like to see them. Listen, if you're not going to invest in players, let's invest in player development a little bit. So there are some names out there that would be really, really exciting.
Yeah, here's my question. Do you think that Bryce Harper tweeted out Scott's Instagram Scott Brown name because of you, or is it just that you two are on the same wavelength? What do you think the sequencing was there? Speaking of sequencing, did one beget the other, or was it just a mind meld?
So I appreciate the question. I appreciate the question because I don't know. I could totally see Bryce saying, what does Jack think for a future pitching coach? But I could also see him being like,
him just sitting there like constantly refreshing your Twitter, being like, God, where is it?
I know. And honestly, like, I felt the pressure too, because he like resigned and was in the middle of an Eagles game, or like in the middle of the pregame show. And obviously I'm working during the pregame show. So I was like thinking of names, but also like trying to do my job. And I felt like there's a lot of pressure around me that I probably put on myself.
I would say definitely put on yourself.
To get a tweet out about who I want for pitching coach. But
you know,
I do.
Jack, you know what I never, ever, ever feel pressure to do? Get a tweet out.
Yeah. Well, listen, one of us is built for Twitter, and one of us is built for Twitter.
I'm totally okay okay with that.
And since we never lie to the High Hopes listeners, I feel like I need to get this out there because it's bothered me for a while. I can't believe you have more Twitter followers than me. Like, you don't even tweet.
You're gonna pass me. You're gonna pass me soon. I mean, you've been gaining on me for a really long time.
Yeah,
I haven't checked in a long time, but like, you definitely have been gaining on me for really. You'll pass me, so this won't matter. I've been pretty stagnant for a while.
Oh, if I don't pass you soon, I'm gonna lose it. But
again, things that I don't care about that you clearly care about.
But yeah, I don't know which it was.
Been thinking about this for a long time.
Really,
everyone follow Jack. He should have more Twitter followers than I do.
Thank you. About time you said it. So I don't know if Bryce follows me on Twitter or has a secret burner account and saw the Scott Brown love. But I genuinely just think Bryce is such a baseball nerd that he knows how good Scott Brown is, and he's seen what Vanderbilt has produced the last couple of years, and said, yeah, that'd be great to have. But I usually hate GM Bryce, but just the fact that he's all in on trying to like build this team through player development and stuff.
It's very cool.
Yeah. It's like hilarious to me. Like Bryce is just tweeting out like what he would do to fix a baseball team.
He's
like,
such a nerd. He's like a true blue baseball nerd. Like that's why it sucks that they've put him in this position. Like, he really loves baseball. Like that guy loves baseball and just wants to win and just wants to play. And like, I mean, you know, it's kind of messed up that John Middleton sold him the bag of goods he did.
Yeah. And he's going to deliver him Ned Coletti this offseason.
Oh, man.
So like, do you think Bryce is doing the same thing that we're doing? Like, oh, blank check, Eric Neander.
He must. I mean, he's Instagramming about Scott Brown. Like, Bryce clearly knows baseball, cares about this stuff. Like, I'm sure he has thoughts on this. Like, I'm sure he's interested in what's happening for sure.
Yeah, and then he sees the reports and it's like, are you guys kidding me?
What is happening? Those guys were good when I was a child. Yeah. Like, what are we doing here?
When I was hitting 500-foot home runs at the Trop, Ned Coletti was destroying the Dodgers. So,
I mean, Jesus.
But, yeah, no, it was interesting. So, let's just get it out. I mean, Scott Brown would be unbelievable. Like, you see what a guy like Wes Johnson, who is the pitching coach with the Twins, like what he's done with those guys up there. Just kind of taking the college pitching philosophy and taking it to the big leagues. Especially when you see the guys that Scott Brown has worked with, not like Kumar Rocker in high school. You know, I would say before his senior year, he was like a top five pick. And he kind of fell off a little bit. He did not end up, you know, if he was a slam dunk home run pick, he would have gone top five. And now, 2 years later, he's like a lock to go number one overall. And that's because of the work that Scott Brown has done with his mechanics. When I watched Jack Leiter in high school, I was like, yeah, he has a pretty good curveball. But, I don't see this next level stud. And he goes to Vanderbilt, and Scott Brown turns him into Jack freaking Leiter. So, like, Scott Brown is such a good pitching coach that lock first round picks are turning down a couple million to go pitch at Vanderbilt. Like, that says something. That's the main selling point I can give everyone out there, that lock first rounders are saying, you know what, I'm going to risk 2 more years or 3 more years on my pitching arm to go work with this guy to improve my draft stock. Yeah, I want that guy to be my pitching coach. He would be an absolute home run hire, the perfect mix of mechanics and player development and technology and knowing how to use it and knowing how to not only use it but translate it to the player. I mean, Walker Buehler, just guys and dudes every single year that Vanderbilt is just turning out. I mean, if they hired Scott Brown, I would just, I would be so excited. Like, just thinking about what he could do with what we have here. Wow, it's not unbelievable, but just seeing how he's turned the talent that he's gotten into Vanderbilt into a superstar in the draft every year when it comes to pitching. So very in on Scott Brown. I think you'd be a home run hire.
You're such a nerd.
Oh, yeah.
Contained in there was the sentence, I watched Jack Leiter in high school.
Jack Leiter was a first rounder for a little bit there. You know, I had to do some research to see if he was going to be in the.
I love it. All right.
With the Phils.
Who else? Any other names out there that just, you know, kind of like, you know, it doesn't have to be as in depth, but some of the other names you're at least interested in?
So you don't want me to go as in depth. I got you.
You can break them down if you want.
I actually have no one. I have other people, but not as in depth. Just names of guys that I know are good pitching coaches, and I think would do a good job here. Matt Hobbs is the pitching coach down in Arkansas. Arkansas is a bit of a pitching factory. Wes Johnson came from Arkansas. I kind of followed the Wes Johnson plan. Love of Wes Johnson is done with the Twins. Ruben Nebla is like a pitching coordinator with the Indians. So he, like a lot of those guys like Shane Bieber and all the guys that brought up Zach Plesac have credited Ruben Nebula, for unleashing more of their stuff. So obviously he's a guy that would be unbelievable, but he's kind of had opportunities to leave in the past, and he's always just loved being with Cleveland, kind of like Chernoff. Wouldn't it be nice to have an organization where
everyone man
loves being there?
What a thought.
Yeah. Yep. Nope. Don't want that here. And the last one's kind of just a little bit of a name, but Brian Conger. No one's going to know that, but he's basically like Lance Lynn, Mike Minor. Like those guys go to Texas and everyone's like, oh, they suck. And then they turn out to be really good. Well, that's because of Brian Conger. So, he's like a minor league pitching guy. He's not the major league pitching coach, but he's pretty instrumental in getting the most out of those guys. So he's a name to watch. But again, Scott Brown would be an absolute home run hire, and I'm fully anticipating them to hire some Yankees guy. So whatever.
So, yep. I think that is that or like some Don Cooper just got fired in Chicago.
Ray Searidge.
Yeah, some old school guy like that. You know what I mean? Brian Price 2.0.
Be great. So awesome. Let's get more right. Sinkers.
What you got in the take bag?
What do I have in the take bag?
What don't you have in the take bag? Am I right?
Who are you rooting for in the World Series?
So I've really, 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 really gone back and forth with this. Like, I've kind of actually been struggling with it. So generally, I root for, like, I want to root for the Rays in any situation. The Dodgers, I feel bad, this group of Dodgers. Like, Clayton Kershaw, like, if there's one athlete in sports right now who I think deserves a title the most, it might be Clayton Kershaw. He's certainly on the short list, like Larry Fitzgerald. Maybe there are a couple other guys. But
Carson Wentz.
So, you know, and this Dodgers group has been there and lost and lost and lost and lost that, like, I almost feel bad rooting against them. So my gut, like, I want to root for the Rays because I want to support what they do. I think, you know, it's 108 million to 28 million payroll, like Neander doing Neander things. But I feel kind of bad for this group of Dodgers guys. So I think ultimately, as I'm watching it, I feel like I'm probably pulling for the Dodgers, but I'm really close.
That's fair. I'm rooting for the Dodgers. I couldn't agree more about Kershaw. Like, the guys who I want to see win rings the most in sports right now are Kershaw, Chris Paul. I want to see Rodgers win another one.
No one who more than the people who don't have one, like for me, like, you know, yeah, agree.
Yeah. So I am rooting hard for them. And plus, I just want Eric Neander to see like what he could build here with a $200 million payroll, you know, just what he could do up here in Philadelphia.
Oh, I like that angle. I didn't think about that angle. Oh, I like that angle, Jack.
Of course.
Get to the World Series with your ragtag group and then just get beat by a more talented, deeper squad that you really just couldn't. Your tricks and your you know, market inefficiencies and your edges and, you know, little edges that you get just wasn't enough to beat the big behemoth. Go be the behemoth. I like that one, Jack.
Behemoth?
Behemoth.
I say behemoth, but
yeah, it's totally a Reservoir Dogs reference. Have you seen Reservoir Dogs? Probably not,
no,
right?
No. Asking the wrong guy for movie stuff.
Big Daddy Don Bodine's truck, the behemoth.
Nice. By the way, I think it's hilarious that not even the Rays could fix how terrible Hunter Renfro is.
It's unbelievable. That dude hit some tank shots.
Yeah.
By the way, Randy Arozarena, what? Yeah. Where? How? Who? What is going on here? Like, this is an all-timer. Like, this is truly one of the all-time what the bleep come out of nowhere for a postseason miracle run type of things I've ever seen.
It's crazy. You and I follow baseball. I didn't really know who he was.
I had no idea who he was. At least
when Daniel Murphy hit like four homers against the Cubs, I was like, oh, well, that's Daniel Murphy.
Sure.
Figuring out how to launch in baseball. I was like, honestly, didn't know who he was. I knew he was in the Matthew Liberatore deal, and it's like, wait, no, was it Matthew Liberatore or was it Tommy Pham? I don't know, but... I didn't know who he was. So just classic Neander.
Same thing. It's unbelievable.
It is creepy how much Hunter Renfro looks like Mike Trout, though.
He does look a lot like Mike Trout. It's a very good call.
It's kind of terrifying.
Cosign.
Kind of terrifying.
Yeah, it is unbelievable. Just watching this Rays team, and like, I mean, this lineup is like, it's dog crap. Like on paper, but it works. Like, I mean, like, it's unbelievable. Like, it's a bunch of cast-offs and nobodies. Like, it's crazy.
And as we learned in 08, they're not clutch. They can't get the big hits. Well, they don't know how to drive.
Same thing. 08 translates to now. So.
Oh, yep. Just ask Ned Coletti. All right. As always, Save LaSalle Baseball. We had my buddy Ray on last week.
Save LaSalle Baseball.
Follow him on Twitter and Instagram at Save LaSalle Baseball. Help save a nice little local program. They did not recruit me, but that's okay. I'm not holding it against them, as you can see by now. I've completely moved on. My science point is this, and I'm just saying that there's no way that everything falls at 9.8 meters per second. Like, the eye test does not back up that objects fall at 9.8 meters per second.
Wait, what are you talking about here?
This is my science point.
Okay. You pivoted quickly.
I know.
I was like, caught me off guard. I was like, what are we talking about?
Because I have a whole bunch of stuff on the rundown. This is just where I was at. So, like,
okay.
You ever learn...
I don't know what you're talking about. So everything falls at the same speed.
The law of gravity is that everything falls at 9.8 meters per second.
Yes, relative to their size. Right?
I don't know. I just think it's ridiculous. Like, you can't tell me that a bowling ball and something else like falls at the same they both don't fall at 9.8 meters per second. Like, it doesn't back up the eye test.
Like, I think you're understanding this theory wrong. Like, obviously,
well, that could be the case.
Obviously, a feather and a bowling ball are not going to fall at the same speed. Like, I don't think that's the scientific
theory. What about a bowling ball and a shoe?
A bowling ball would fall quicker.
That's what I said.
Because it's heavier.
Right, but that's what I'm saying about the
I think you're misunderstanding the theory.
No, I don't think I am. I think everything falls at 9.8 meters per second.
I don't know this. I mean, to be frank, I am not a big like science guy. Science was definitely not my best subject in school. Emily, my wife, is great at science stuff. I'm looking this up. Hold on, because I don't know this, but I don't think this seems possible. Like, hold on, everything falls.
Google.
What speed? Okay.
9.8 meters per second.
As such, all objects free fall at the same rate regardless of their mass, because the 9.8 NKG gravitational field at Earth's surface causes a 9.8 m/s/s acceleration of any object placed there. We often call the ratio of acceleration of gravity. Hold on one sec. This is confusing, Jack. I'm confused here. So hold on. Okay. So they've got an example. An elephant. If Newton's second law were applied to falling motion, I'm trying to read. So a 1,000 kilogram baby elephant would accelerate faster. Hold on. Force and mass. There's a lot of sciencey stuff, Jack.
Yeah, I don't do the sciencey stuff. I just do the eye test.
I'm so confused by this right now. People are going to think we're so dumb with this. People who actually understand this are going to be listening and yelling at their iPhone or whatever.
Yeah, well, listen.
Being like, you morons! How do you not understand this? You idiots!
9.8 meters per second is apparently how fast every object falls.
All objects placed upon the Earth's surface will experience this amount of force upon one every kilogram of mass within the object. Man, I'm so confused now, Jack. This doesn't, like, there's no way. Like, if I went on the top of my roof and I dropped a bowling ball versus, I guess it's got to be solid objects, right? Because, like a shoe. There's no way the shoe falls faster than
right,
the,
but that's
the bowling
what the,
ball.
That's what the law of gravity suggests.
I'm like super. We've got to be missing something and misunderstanding this. Like, I feel here's the thing. My official stance here is the science is right. We're not understanding the science and what they're talking about. That's my official stance.
Let's put it out there. I just want to put it out there. We could be wrong about this.
I think we probably are wrong. In fact, I'm doubting everything I've said to this point.
If we are 100% wrong, feel free to email us at highhopes.
A bowling ball or a stuffed animal. I'm looking at Zoe's stuffed animals right now. Like, there's no way a stuffed animal is gonna fall as quickly as a bowling ball.
Dude, that's what the theory.
Especially the higher up you go, right? Because then there's more time for it to speed up on the way down.
But as long as they're dropped at the same time, apparently that's all that matters.
And that they would both hit the ground at the same time, no matter what the object is?
Yes, because they all fall at 9.8 meters per second. That's the law of gravity. That's what gravity is. That's gravitational pull.
I'm like floored by this. This can't be right.
That's why I didn't do good in science and math.
Me either, because I was just questioning
everything.
I apologize to everyone who thinks we're dumb now.
Okay, well, they probably knew that already. But if we're way... if we're way wrong, just email us at thehighhopespod@gmail.com.
We are way wrong. I'm just intrigued to find out.
Wrong. I don't think we're wrong.
Misunderstanding the law, more likely, the scientific law.
I think I'm right. I don't think they're right on this. There's no My eye test is better than their science, and I would say that there's no way that every object falls at 9.8 meters per second.
Sure. I'm with you. It seems weird.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I think science needs more eye tests and less computers.
Just like
baseball.
Trust science. That is the main thing I want to say.
Seriously.
Science.
Bring this conversation up to Emily and see how dumb she looks at you.
I'm embarrassed. Embarrassed too.
Okay.
I'm embarrassed to see the look in her eyes. The never to be fixed disappointment in me and in my brain. I can't do it.
I also can't wait for when Zoe brings this home from school in like 10 years and you have to explain.
Well, that'll
to
be
her.
Easy. I'll just be like, oh, ask your mother.
Well, no. Alternate, you could say, ask Jack because he broke.
Yeah, it sounds like a great idea.
10 years ago, he broke it down on a podcast and said it's all bull.
Oh, my God. I'm so confused now. What is happening?
All right. Other things in my mailbag. Let's get to the other important things that we want to.
How are we still talking 50 plus minutes in when we had literally nothing to talk about coming in?
Well, that's what we do. We had to talk about Ned Colletti.
We did. It's true.
Did you see the MLB Game 7 NLCS ratings, or was that just me?
I did. about that?
I truly hate to
suck
see it.
Suck it, NBA.
Yep, from a dying sport. A dying sport got, what, 9 million viewers? 9 million dead people watch baseball in Game 7. Wow. Wow, unbelievable. Let me just have 65,000 more think pieces about how no one likes baseball. Get out of here. Anyway.
Absolute joke.
It is the anniversary of Game 4 in 1993, which apparently you were at.
I was.
I don't know how you're still here to talk about it, because...
Highest scoring game in World Series history still to this day.
If the Phillies ever blew a 14-8 lead in the eighth inning, I would be inconsolable. Just absolutely inconsolable. I can't believe you were alive for it. I can't believe you're still here to talk about it. It sounds like an absolute freaking nightmare. And then two nights later to have Joe Carter happen, like, I am so glad I'm not alive. I was not alive for 1993. And you're about to see a big-time home run in about four pitches. So.
Will Smith? Is it Will Smith about
no,
to get here?
No, buddy. Will Smith batted like eight innings ago. It's not Will Smith. I can't believe that you you were at
game. I'm watching Will Smith watch. I was at that game. It was just first of all, I was young. I was 12. But it was just a crazy game. It was like such a ridiculous game in and of itself. But yeah, when you put it into that context, it is hard to fathom. It is weird that we don't talk about that game as much as we just talk about Joe Carter.
That's what I was trying to say today. It's like,
it's a fair point.
My whole life I'm talking, oh, Joe Carter. Dude, they blew a 14-8 lead in the eighth inning. Like, yeah. We talk about 4-0 with Cliff Lee. Like, Cliff Lee's not even allowed back in Philadelphia.
Yeah, you're right. No, it was a different time, but you're right.
It just truly, truly sounds awful.
Oh, Cody.
Oh, yeah. He finally caught up.
Oh, yeah. I'm there.
He does not bust his shoulder at home, which is good. Good job, Cody. I have something I have to get out there to the High Hopes listeners and you and everyone listens. And I know this has been a very revealing podcast of many insightful things, but like,
insightful, is that the right word?
Yeah. The law of gravity. No one breaks the law of gravity down better than this podcast. I don't get chills watching any of the 08 to 11 stuff anymore. Like, I finally have broken it. Like, the Rollins walk-off used to always give me chills, and hearing Fransky in LA, and, you know, I first noticed it when we played Victorino's Grand Slam off CC. That used to always give me chills. I didn't get chills. I need new highlights. Like, I've watched them all too many times. I've gotten so much chills. I've almost started tearing up. All the old stuff. I can't do it anymore. Like, I don't even get excited to put it out there. I don't get excited to play them anymore. I'm just done. I'm done with the old highlights. Like, even Stairs Rips One Into the Night, like, no, doesn't do it for me anymore. Like, I'm over it. I'm 100% over it. I need some new freaking highlights. And I know, you know, I'm probably over it because it's all I do in the offseason is just watch old Philly stuff, and I've seen it 1,000 times, and I get it's still special for people who, like, don't live and die with it every day, but, like, I need some new freaking highlights. I mean, the Rollins walk-off was 11 years ago. 11 years ago. I need something else. I need something else. So I just had to tell people that I no longer get chills at all the old highlights.
I haven't thought about it like that. I think it's an awesome way to put it. Like, you're dead right. We need new highlights. Like, that was a long time ago. We've heard it a lot. We have not had anything new to replace it with for a long time. Jack, really terrific point. Like, wait, perfect way to frame that. I'm with you. Like, I hadn't thought about it. Like, I still, I get highlights from the hairy stuff. Some of it, like, the old stuff more so. But, like, still... always, but I'm with you. Like, there's some things you're always gonna get chills from, I think, but like it's not the same. I agree. I think it's time. It's time.
It's only been a decade. I mean, it's only been a decade. And the final thing in my note back here is JJ, our friend Jim Jackson, no longer be doing Phillies games next year, a luxury that they could no longer afford, according to him. It was a pleasure working with JJ on Phillies pre, post, and during the fourth and fifth innings for home games. And he's a great dude, and it's just it's a shame that the pandemic, just kind of is making the JJ run come to an end, and it's a all big one shame, especially when you go down there and it's like, you know, Murph and JJ won't be a part of the broadcast anymore. And it's just like, yeah, those are kind of our guys, you know. I mean, whether you're in the car driving around, you always know it's gonna be JJ on the pregame show. You always know Murph's gonna be with the fans, and you know, they're kind of like our summer family, and it's a shame that they won't be around anymore, and you know, it's just thinking about them. So JJ, it was great working with you, and you still have Flyers hockey, and they might be the only fun team in the city, so you know, it might not be too bad.
Look at that. I'm with you. That was well said, Jack.
Yeah, but there might be three teams heading towards purgatory and the Flyers.
Look, and for what it's worth, JJ, a outstanding hockey announcer. Like, really, truly one of the best that I've ever heard do hockey. And let's be honest, there will never be anyone who will handle rain delay phone calls as JJ. I mean, what a stud.
Yep.
Whenever you have to take, like, 2 hours of rain delay phone calls, what a stud. What a stud.
Honestly, like some of the most riveting radio ever.
I would tune in if I knew it was happening. Just even if I was busy, I would find a way to listen. So, yeah, I'm with you.
Because, dude, there would be nothing. Like, because I had to screen those freaking calls for better parts of two seasons.
Oh, I can imagine.
And it's like, it's just so funny because it's always the same eight callers. And then, of course, like, you'll sprinkle in other.
Yo, JJ!
Yeah. It's like, JJ, yeah, get Klentak out of here. He's blowing all our money. And JJ will be like, yeah, well, you know, he spent money in wise places, and we'll see what this team can do from here on out. It's like,
yo, JJ, I met you when I was at a Phillies game. It was really cool. I heard, like, eight of those types of calls. And JJ was very cool about it. And I have always found a way to almost make the person believe that he actually remembered who they were, which is pretty good.
Radio, never better.
It was the best. No, I'm with you. We're going to miss those guys. And obviously it's been a bummer seeing a lot of the people who've and look, it looks like there might be more to come too. So, it's definitely a bummer. You got any final thoughts, Fritzy, or was that your final thought?
That was my final thought. And John, dear John, don't even think about it, buddy.
Like, oh, my God.
Don't even think about it.
No Ned, no Jim. No, no Dave.
No. Dombrowski.
No. He's Fritz. I'm Seltzer. Talk to you guys later.